Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY27 earnings conference call of IndiGrid Infrastructure Trust. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in a listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference has been recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Bharanidhar Vijayakumar from Spark Institutional Equities Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. Thank you for logging in for this 1Q FY27 earnings call of IndiGrid Infrastructure Trust. From the management, we have Mr. Harsh Shah, MD, Managing Director, and then we have Ms. Meghana Pandit, Chief Financial Officer, followed by Mr. Sanil Namboodiripad, Chief Operating Officer. Without further ado, I would hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks, post which we'll take the Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Hi, good evening, everyone, and a very warm welcome to our Q1 FY27 results call. As we have done before, I'm going to take you through the presentation on the first part, then my colleagues Meghana and Sanil will take certain sections of the presentation and will address the question and answer subsequently. I'm on slide number three. Our vision is to become the most admired yield vehicle in Asia. We focus on a business model with long-term contracts, low operating risk, and stable cash flows. We strive to do value-accretive growth by doing DPU-accretive acquisitions year-on-year and creating a pipeline for future. We focus on delivering quarterly predictable distribution to our unit holders, and while doing all this, we focus on an optimal cap structure. On slide four is our portfolio as of date. With assets under management of approximately 34,000 crores, our presence is across 20 states and two union territories, across 94 different revenue-generating elements, which includes 59 transmission lines spanning 10,000 circuit kilometers, 20 substations with a capacity of 34,335 MVA, 1.5 gigawatt-peak of solar capacity, and 2.5 gigawatt-hour of BESS projects at different stages of construction. Many of our projects are build, own, and operate, so therefore there is a physical asset that belongs to us that's captured in steel and aluminum. But beyond that, our average residual contract period for transmission is approximately 26 years, for solar about 18.8 years, and for battery storage 11.5 years. On slide number six is the highlights for this quarter. This quarter, EnerGrid, where we have partnered with two financial investors to develop more projects on transmission, we received two letters of intent, one for Shong Thong Kedong Transmission Scheme awarded through TBCB mechanism. It's an ISTS project comprising of 450 circuit kilometers of lines and 400 to 220 kV, 630 MVA substations to be developed. This is in the state of Himachal. The second project is also in the state of Himachal, where the transmission system for evacuation of power from Sunni Dam and Luhri Stage 1 is awarded through TBCB to us, which comprises of about 104 circuit kilometers of transmission lines and about 1,000 MVA of substation capacity. Both projects put together have approximately cumulative CapEx of 5,800 crores. This is something which IndiGrid will acquire as and when the projects are revenue-generating and operational, and add approximately a little over 6,000 crores of AUM to IndiGrid AUM subsequently. In terms of the quarterly financial performance, our operational revenue stood at 930 crores, up approximately 19% year-on-year. The growth primarily is driven by the addition of new projects into the portfolio through the year. The revenue growth translated into operational EBITDA growing approximately 23% year-on-year and stood at 860 crores. Our EBITDA margin stood at 89.1%. AUM and net debt to AUM ratio remains very low. We are at 58.5% net debt to AUM, which translates into roughly another 10,000-12,000 crores of assets that we can acquire without necessarily raising more capital. Q1 27 collections are at 95% on transmission and 100% for solar. Transmission collections are relatively lower. However, this is a usual trend that we have seen across last 10 years where quarter one collections are typically lower and then collections pick up in quarter three, quarter three and quarter four subsequently. So we see the same trend panning out this year as well. In terms of distribution, as you know, we increased the distribution to 16.48 rupees a unit last quarter for the full year this year. In line with that, we're distributing 4.12 rupees a unit for quarter 127. Our weighted average quarterly transmission availability remains at 99.64%. Solar CUF at 26.5. And best round trip efficiency of the portfolio is at 88.44%. We believe that this strategy is something which allows us to continue to deliver superior total returns and sustainable DPUs and stable operations. On the next slide, I'll take to the industry update. Our demand as a country and capacity trend we see are on a continuously increasing trend. As you can see in quarter one FY26 and quarter one FY27, there is a 12.5% growth. Our peak capacity, which is a significant growth by any standards on such a large portfolio. And we do feel that this is still lower than what India could achieve. And therefore, over the next 10 years, we are certain that these capacities and the growth is going to continue to remain in the energy sector. Some of the signs of that are evident in the developments in the transmission and renewable sector. CEA increased the earlier 500 gigawatt of non-fossil capacity target to 900 gigawatt of master plan. These master plans are very essential because they give a visibility of a next decade of growth. And for us, this translates into clearly about 8 lakh crores of outlay in transmission and transformation capacity over the next 10 years. Same goes for storage, where we see 174 gigawatt of capacity being planned for grid balancing. A second key update on the Niti Aayog and capital recycling from NMP. You know, phase 2 target is set at 16.72 lakh crore and power sector allocation is about 2.77 lakh crore for brownfield asset monetization. We do feel that at some point in time, we will get an opportunity to participate in such monetization proceeds. On the next slide, slide number 8. I'll take through some of the key strategic market pillars. So as I described in the detail, the scale of opportunity is massive. India's energy transition continues to drive a multi-decade transmission opportunity, specifically driven by rising renewable integration, grid expansion requirement, and increasing need for evacuation infrastructure across RE projects and storage projects. The second is the rising need of energy storage. As battery energy storage and pumped hydro storage are increasingly emerging, critical enabler for renewable integration and grid stability, using peak management as we move towards more and more renewable projects in the grid. RE ambitions will drive growth while dealt with challenges, while renewable energy additions remain structurally strong and competitive. I do see near-term execution to face bottlenecks considering the transmission congestion, curtailment, unsigned PPAs, and evolving DSM regulations. However, we feel that these are short-term hiccups and have pretty much no impact on the long-term decadal growth that we are seeing in the sector. And on the NMP side, I already covered that we do see a great opportunity for India to really monetize some of the operating assets and create liquidity for itself. Following all this, the proof, as we see, there is a significant activity in the transmission and BESS sector. As we speak, there are over 2 lakh crores of tenders that are out at different stages in transmission and BESS sectors. About 60,000 crores of RFPs are already released on transmission. another 1 lakh crores of RFP are approved by NFP, and we will see those RFPs getting bidded out over the next 12 months or 18 months. The battery storage side also, there is significant amount of pipeline in terms of projects that are announced. We'll see how these projects pan. I'll invite my colleague Sanil to take you through the operating performance for the quarter across our businesses. Sanil, please.
Thanks, Harsh. Good afternoon. We are on slide number 10. In the quarter one, we continued maintaining superior availability and performance. With respect to the safety stats, we had zero medical treatment cases, zero first aid cases, but we had one lost time incident, which was a minor accident to one of the persons while dismantling an emergency restoration structure. With regards to the performance, the solar generation stood at 669 million units at 26.5% capacity utilization factor. The transmission weighted average availability was 99.64%. The battery storage projects, KBPL and GBPL, the kilocalorie base completed 1 year of operations, and the weighted average availability of both these projects put together was 98.39%, which is much above the 95% requirement as per the contract. And we also achieved a round-trip efficiency weighted average again, 88.44% above the contractual requirement of 85%. The reliability statistics, we had trips per line of 0.27, and most of these trips occurred due to lightning, thunderstorm, and stubble burning and foreign materials. The substation trips per element was 0.03, which is as per our regular standards. And the solar average availability was around 98.1%. It got pulled down a little bit due to some inverter failures, string failures, and some communication failures in a couple of our solar plants. If you look at the bar chart on the right side, you can see that then all the assets, transmission assets, had achieved availability much beyond the normative availability requirements, except Gurgaon Palwal GPTL, where we had a failure of one bus reactor, which is covered under insurance. And coming to the table on the right side, if you compare the quarter of FY26 versus 27, pretty much stable. Number of trips over line had reduced, actually. Training man hours continues about 10,000. Lost time accident one. Unsafe conditions reporting remain steady. The near miss reporting also have been steady. And utility solar generation has improved. This is mainly due to acquisition of a project last year. And the plant availability has remained steady, or it has slightly improved over the last year. Thank you so much. May I hand over to Meghna next?
Thanks, Anil. Hi, good evening, everyone. I'm on slide number 11, where we'll be talking about the Q1 FY27 financial performance. Another quarter of strong performance with the reported revenue being recorded at 1,087 crores, which is an increase of about 29% over Q1 of last fiscal. And on the EBITDA side, another around 29% growth again at 906 crores over 704 crores last year same time. The right-hand side graphs talk about the operational asset and the service concession accounting contribution breakup, where you can see that the revenue and EBITDA have recorded a growth of 18.9 and 23.6% respectively over Q1 of FY26. The collection and receivable days across transmission and solar business units again remained quite robust. Q1 typically for the transmission assets is slightly lower compared to the fourth quarter, because fourth quarter generally is much higher. So we recorded the collections at around 95%. With receivable days at 38. Same thing on the solar side, 100% collections with receivable days at 34. Moving to slide number 12, which is talking about the BPU update, the distribution update for Q1. We, in line with the annual BPU guidance of 16.48 rupees for FY27, the quarterly DPU approved by the board stands at 4 rupees 12 paisa. Breakup of which is between interest, dividend, capital repayment, components. Outstanding units remain the same, about 95.26 crores, with the gross distribution around 392 crores. The record date for the distribution stands at August 17th, and the distribution will be before on or before August 24th. The NAV per unit stood at around 146.93 rupees as on June 30th, 2026. The right-hand side talks about our annual distribution trend. We've in line with what we have maintained, 3-5% growth in the DPU. The 5.4% of CAGR is what we are looking at, assuming of 16.48 rupees of distribution for this fiscal. Moving to slide number 13, which talks about the waterfall from EBITDA to NDCF. The EBITDA for the quarter stood at the SPV level was at about 924 crores, in which working capital movement, some capex related movement, and the minor tax impact, the NDCF stood at 782. In that, the finance cost largely at IndiGrid level and minor working capital movements, the NDCF generated during the quarter was at 370 crores. Distribution for the quarter at 4.12 rupees stands at 392, because of which we are dipping into the reserves to the extent of around 22 crores. But even after that, the NDCF reserve balance will be at 522 crores, which is almost more than 1.5 quarters of distribution. Moving to slide 14, where we are looking at the balance sheet strength, we continue to remain AAA rated by all the three rating agencies. Our average cost of debt as on 30th June stands at around 7.4%, with cash balance of about 1,511 crores. Out of the total gross borrowing of 21,100 odd crores, almost 89% of that is fixed rate borrowing. And the leverage ratio again stands at very robust number of 58.5%, leaving a reasonably high debt headroom for future acquisitions. The interest coverage ratio again was very healthy at 2.29 times. The borrowing again remains very, very diversified between all kinds of investors, banks, corporates, mutual funds, insurance, and so on. The repayment schedule that you see at the bottom of the chart talks about a fairly well-diversified and termed-out borrowing profile. For this particular fiscal, we are looking at around 1,900 odd crores of refinancing coming up, which is again lesser than 10% of the overall gross borrowing that we look at. Slide number 15 talks about the superior risk-adjusted total returns. Total returns which consisting of distribution, which is 121% for IndiGrid since the time we got listed till now, and the capital appreciation, which is about 77%. Put together, total return of 198% of absolute and about 13% of annualized return, which when compared to both pure play debt as well as pure play equity indices, is much superior considering the beta, which is the element of risk, which is at very close to 0.09. So we again consistently been outperforming on a risk adjusted basis. In terms of the business outlook remains very robust. We continue to focus in terms of our portfolio strategy, ensuring that we maintain stable operations, and thereby look at predictable and sustainable distribution on the back of the acquisitions that we have been consistently doing. On the greenfield development side, which is through EnerGrid, we are likely to acquire 3-4 projects during this fiscal, worth around 2,000 crores minimum from EnerGrid, and besides that, any other M&A opportunities that may come through. Besides that, we will continue to participate in greenfield opportunities along with EnerGrid in other power transmission and DES projects. Similarly, the idea is to ensure we deliver on the DPU guidance of 16.48 for FY27. On the balance sheet side, our focus continues to be in terms of the refinancing opportunity that we get and the asset acquisition that we finance to ensure that we optimize on the interest cost as well as try and elongate the tenor profile as and when this opportunity lends itself. Similarly, ensuring we maintain prudent leverage with adequate headroom to enable organic and inorganic growth. Resilient asset management is another important pillar for us. We have to ensure we look at sustaining at least 99.5% of availability across the operational portfolio of transmission BESS put together, and equal a robust number on the CUF delivery. Besides that, try to continuously improve on self-reliant O&M capabilities on the back of digital predictive analytics, artificial intelligence, and also ensuring how we can use AI-powered image analyzer and other mechanics to improve the asset health index as well as predictive maintenance. Similarly, uphold world-class EHS and ESG practices to ensure long-term portfolio sustainability. Industry stewardship, again, is a proactive measure that we have been looking at to participate actively in policy shaping and industry dialogues across InvIT, similarly in the electricity sector. So we continue to do that. With that, we'll take a pause and we'll move to the question and answer session, please.
Thank you. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking your question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rushabh Sharedalal from Pravin Ratilal Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon. Is my am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on delivering on the higher DPU that you had promised to the unit holders. My question is actually basically twofold, and it's basically on the cash balance that we hold. So I was just doing some maths and looking at some of the numbers. So if I look at March 24 till up to September 25, we had an average cash balance of at least 2000 crores, and it has been falling continuously. So from December 25 onwards, we have at least reduce our cash balance by another 500 crores. And I also did some maths around the trailing 12-month NDCF compared to distribution. And we are actually dipping into reserves quite a few times. So can you please explain, like, is there some collection efficiency issue or some happening?
Yeah, thank you. First, to answer your question, I think I don't see we have, again, whether you, I don't know whether trailing 12 month is the right measure. We look at financial year basis.
Oh.
And on a financial year basis, I, at least we do not feel that we have dipped into reserves to pay DPU. Quarter on quarter, there can always be changes. For example, even this quarter, we have dipped into reserves because typically quarter one collections are lower. And that's why we keep a reserve. And quarter four, many times we catch up. Sometimes what happens is that in the middle of the quarter, if there is a capital raising, that may have impact on either DPU or NDCF, or it may have impact on the cash balances as well. Last year, we did two capital raising. One was a QIP, one was a pref, and therefore, depending on, you know, which quarter it was, there may be a, I would say, relatively higher cash balance that might be visible, and they might also have in some quarter impact on the NDCF. But from an operating cash flow perspective, we have not seen anything concerning or worrisome in terms of our collections. We are rather, on the solar side, we are doing very well. The receivable cycle has come down to 30-40 days, which is very good. Mm-hmm. And on the transmission side, it's been collecting as per trend of 45 to 50 days. So I think on collections front, we have not seen any challenge whatsoever. Obviously, quarter-on-quarter things can change. We do not have the exact reserve data on a quarterly basis, but we publish it. But for example, we ended the reserve with about 522
crores.
Yeah, exactly, 522 crores. If you look at it on a quarter-on-quarter basis or even year-on-year basis, This number has remained typically, reserve has remained around 1 to 1.5 quarter worth of distribution. And that's what we try to maintain it. So simply put, to answer your question, we don't have the analysis that we have done to comment on it, but we have not seen any impact on operating cash flows or receivable cycles.
Right, right. And my second question is on the equity raise. So we have done an equity raise just 3 quarters back. So is there any other equity raise planned for the next 2 years?
That's a very long-term question. I don't know. As and when there is an equity raise, we will make an announcement. It's obviously a price sensitive thing. But as and when there is, we follow the guidelines and come to market as and when there is a plan to do equity raise. I can say at this point in time, there is none. But 2 years is a very long period of time.
Right. But we still have some headroom on the debt to raise funds, right? We are at 58% and we can go up to 70%. Is my understanding correct?
Yes, your understanding is correct.
Okay. And typically what I have seen is that we have stopped at around 60%. So is there a plan to remain at around 60% only, or will we be comfortable going to, let's say, 65 also?
So we can technically go up to 70% as well. As a business strategy, what we have done is that when we reach 65%, we look to do capital raise to ensure that there is a further growth headroom possible and available for us. So it has nothing to do with 60% or 65%. We can go till 70%, but we start looking to raise capital at 65% so that we keep more headroom available for us in future.
Once again, congratulations and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deep Vakil from Bandhan AMC. Please go ahead.
Am I audible, sir?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. Sir, 2-3 questions. A fundamental question. Since IndiGrid usually, all SPVs follow an old tax regime, so usually dividend is ideally exempted in such situations for unit holders. And a follow-up on that is that lately there has been some announcement on tax implication for unit holders that, irrespective of whatever regime the SPV or the InvIT follows, it will be tax-exempted to them. And however, surcharge is higher in new tax regime versus old tax, but effective tax outgo is lower for InvIT. So any market chatter around that, and what are your thoughts on this announcement?
I don't know about market chatter, because you have every InvIT or every REIT will have a different impact on it. I think it's first making dividend tax-free from business trust in the hands of eventual unit holder is a very welcoming move, right? Because eventually we are struggling with a two-tier tax structure where investors are paying tax on dividend component after the InvITs or its subsidiaries have paid tax, and so there is an inefficiency, I would say, in the market. So that's something which I would say is welcome, and people should be, I would say it's a positive move. Having said so, adding a 10% surcharge is obviously a bit of a negative surprise. So each InvIT and REIT will have its own impact. We are also evaluating impact on our capital structure and tax. We do not see any material impact on our cash flows. To answer your question, most of our assets are in new tax regime. Only one or two regulated assets are in old tax regime. So we don't see ourselves materially impacted. Even in our DPU, if you look at it, the dividend component is relatively small. Obviously, it can evolve over a period of time as the assets become more mature and older. But typically, dividend income is very small. Out of our 4 rupees, or our annual 16.5 rupees, typically the dividend is less than a rupee that's getting paid. Right? So it's not a material change for unit holders of IndiGrid for sure. But as I said, different inputs in reach might have a different eventual impact on that.
Sure, sir. Thank you. And sir, one more last question. Sir, I mean, our NAV was around 146 and it was around 148 as on March 26, right? So, and 146 is after the distributions have been paid, right? So, just trying to understand, sir, I mean, in couple of last con calls, you have been saying that, I mean, whatever assets that we own in EnerGrid would eventually flow to IndiGrid, as Meghna ma'am also highlighted that around 2,000 crore of AUM will get added to IndiGrid's AUM by the end of this year. So, sir, any trajectory on the flow, I mean, from EnerGrid to IndiGrid in FY28, and I mean, how do we see NAV accretion over time? I mean, do we have some internal thresholds that, you know, we try to have a consistent increase in NAV by X percentage, or how should investors view that?
Yeah, okay. So, and there are two, three different questions. I'll answer the first questions on asset flow. As we speak, EnerGrid has approximately 12 to 13,000 crores of projects under construction. Eventually, those projects will come to IndiGrid once they are operational over next 2 to 4 years. Because some of the projects are 36 months, 40 months timeline, so you know, over a period of time. Out of that, about 2,000 crores of projects, which are closer to commissioning, are the projects which Meghna spoke about, which they are going to be acquired by IndiGrid this financial year. So that's to answer, that's the way strategy looks. I cannot give you a year-on-year projection because it's a project business, and as and when the projects get commissioned, there are different sets of assets and different commissioning schedules. But broadly, total size that we see is 12 to 13,000 crores of assets coming to IndiGrid over the next 2 to 4 years. Out of that, over 2,000 crores of assets are going to come in FY27. So that's the first question. The second question on NAV accretion, you know, NAV is made up of a variety of components. NAV is made up of current assets valuation, volatility in the market, cost of debt in the market, risk-free rate, and the impact is new assets. It is not only new assets that change the NAV. So, I mean, our formula has not changed over the last 10 years. It is the same formula that is getting published, so each investor can do the work. But for us to project NAV is impossible, right? Because we can't project liquidity, we can't project risk-free rate, we can't project volatility, we can't project cost of debt. All of that remains floating. So it is inaccurate. It's kind of unfortunately inaccurate for us to really project NAV. So that's why we do frequent reporting of it. Are all the acquisitions that we are doing from EnerGrid NAV accretive? Answer to that is yes. Right? So that's something with how much accretive, what will be NAV 2 years down the line is trying to do crystal ball, which we can't do. But I can say that we are acquiring at a NAV accretive level. So typically, if you compare NAV a quarter before acquisition, quarter after acquisition, NAV should have gone up. Right? I mean, that's a simple answer I would give to that.
So thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Mr. Bharanidhar from Vijay Kumar from Spark Institutional Equities Private Limited. Please go ahead. Bharanidhar sir, could you please go ahead, sir?
Sorry, I was on mute. Apologies for that. So my question is regarding the inorganic opportunities we are talking about for our growth in the future. Can you highlight, you know, how and you know, quantum and what areas you know, these opportunities are shaping up for us?
So we keep looking at projects in our three focus sector, which is transmission, solar or rather renewable and battery storage. Size-wise, we can acquire up to 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 crores of projects as well. But at the moment, I don't think we are at a level where we can announce anything or we have signed anything. So, but yeah, these are the three main sectors that we look at assets. And as and when it happens, we come back to market and announce.
So anything anything in the solar side that you are seeing in the near term?
Oh, we keep seeing assets, but none of that is where we have signed anything to communicate.
Okay, understood. Yeah, that's it for myself.
A reminder to all participants that you may press star and want to ask question. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and want to ask questions. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference to the management for the closing comments.
Okay, thank you. Thank you all the investors for joining the call and spending your time. Very happy to deliver the results for this quarter and looking forward to connect you for next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of IndiGrid Infrastructure Trust and Spark Institutional Equities Private Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.